the message of hope, love, and good news through Jesus Christ in the Greater Valley area. Thank you for listening. Now stay tuned for the next 30 minutes and let God bless you.
Heaven, they would take the trip if God called them today. But for me, I have to say, I'm not ready. Just as long as there's just one that's still not saved. There's a lot of folks that long to see that city. Oh, the one that has streets that's paved with gold. But for me, I have to say, I'm not ready. 'Cause my heart will ache as long as you don't go. Long to see their loved ones and friends that they was new from long ago. But for me, I have to say, I'm not ready. 'Cause there's still a lot of seed I need to sow. There's a lot of folks that long to see that city. The one that has the streets that's paved with gold. But for me, I have to say, I'm not ready. 'Cause my heart will ache as long as you don't go. There's a lot of folks that long to see the Savior, to look into His eyes and touch the nail-scarred hand. But for me, I have to say, I'm not ready. Till I behold those things my eyes don't understand. There's a lot of folks that long to see that city. The one that has the streets that's paved with gold. But for me, I have to say, I'm not ready. 'Cause my heart will ache as long as you don't go. But for me, I have to say, I'm not ready. 'Cause my heart will ache as long as you don't go.
Praise the Lord. We appreciate everyone joining with us on the Amen Corner. And on the broadcast today, I've got Brother Gerald Whitlow. And I've known Brother Gerald for many years. And Gerald used to live in the valley years ago, didn't you? Mm-hmm. I think you still got some relatives in the valley, too.
Yeah, I've been, that was my hometown down in the valley, you know.
Yes.
Down around Lynette, mm-hmm. close to West Point, and Fairfax, and Langdale, and Shawmut, and Riverview. I used to work at the Riverview Cotton Mill, you know. When I worked there, I worked many years there at the cotton mill. Doffing cloth, one of the hardest jobs you could get out of a cotton mill. Mm-hmm.
I believe your dad was a preacher too, wasn't he?
Yeah, and my dad was a preacher. We went everywhere. He did, preaching the gospel. And he'd been to Michigan, down in Miami, Florida, different places like that. And he preached around Hogansville and LaGrange and Lynette and all down through those places, LaFette, Alabama, and Watley, Alabama, and all the places he used to go preach. And we had some good times. I used to go with him. We had 15 of us in the family.
Mm-hmm.
And he chose me to go with him everywhere he went. And then there were more boys in the family than just me.
Mm-hmm.
But he chose me out of the whole shebang to go with him. So I went with him about everywhere he went.
Praise God.
He preached in black churches, white churches. He just preached all over the place.
And praise God.
He was a good man of God. He gave his life to God when he was young. And he, Brother Lewis, he used to be an alcoholic before he got saved. But when he got saved, he was walking down the road one day and he had some liquor. And he throwed that liquor over in the ditch, poured it out in the ditch, threw his bottle over in that ditch, and just never went back to it no more.
Praise God.
God delivered him from being an alcoholic. He got saved and he went around getting everybody else he could to be saved. He got them born again and told them about Jesus. His theme song is "There's a bondage in Gideon to make the wounded whole, enough of power about Jesus to cure the sin-sick soul."
Praise
that
God.
That was his theme song everywhere he went.
Praise God.
But anyway, to tell you this, after my dad died, I was 14, I left there. I left home and moved to it. I stayed in the valley for a long time, but after he passed away, I didn't see no reason to stay there. This is before I met you.
Mm-hmm.
So I didn't see no reason to stay in the valley, and so God just moved me out. And I winded up in Atlanta, Georgia, working on them high-rise buildings up there. That's where I made my living. And I had an uncle that came got me when I was 16 years old, wanted me to go live with him and his wife. So I stayed with them for years until they passed away. They died with sugar diabetes, my uncle and aunt. But they was very good to me. They treated me real good. And so from there, I didn't have nowhere to go, didn't have nowhere to stay. I moved from there to Monroe, Georgia, and then from Monroe, I moved to Winder and stayed a while. And me and this brother, Frank Taylor, was going to a meeting. We was going to a meeting down in South Georgia, way down just about the bottom of it. And it was close to Macon, in between Macon and Gray, you know. So we come back. We was coming back from that meeting. It was 1 o'clock in the morning when we got back, you know. And they was taking me home, and we had a head-on collision. There was a young man at 18 years old, passed a truck. He started off in the right lane, but it run into the wrong lane, two double lines, you know. And we was just barely coming over a hill, and he was coming up the hill that they said at 90 miles an hour is how fast he was traveling. Well, the young boy hit us head on, but before this wreck happened, Brother Lewis, I jumped in the floorboard of the car. And I prayed, I said, "Lord, please get me right with you if I ain't right." I mean, that made me want to pray. And he said, "Well, how come you didn't know you was right?" I said, "Well, I wanted to make sure by praying that prayer, you know, I asked God." And I said, "God, if it be your will, let me live." It happened so fast after that, Brother Lewis, that I didn't even have time to pray for the others, you know. These two people got killed in the car that I was in. I was in the back seat. The motor hump got come through the floorboard and landed on top of them. And Brother Frank Taylor was dead first. He died first. He was a great man of God. He was a good preaching man. And I hated to say, that was one of my best friends. And so Sister Dorothy, his wife, Sister Dorothy Pike, and his name was Frank Taylor. And Sister Dorothy was hung under the motor. She was hung to the motor. And the paramedics tried to get her out first, but they couldn't pull her out first because of the motor had them both pinned in. Mm. Well, the brother Taylor, he was dead first. He was already dead at the impact. And Sister Dorothy was screaming from the loud of her voice as she could, "Get me out of here, get me out of here." And she screamed and screamed and screamed, and all of a sudden they got me out. They had to get me out first, and my leg was hung under the back seat, and my left leg at the knee bone was broke in four places, and my other leg was hung under the seat, and they had to unhang my leg from that seat back there before they could get me out. Mm. And so they got me out in 10 seconds after they got me out. That car blowed up and finished killing Sister Dorothy Pike. Mm. It burnt them up. They couldn't even show their casket. And it blowed smoke for 60 feet in the air, they say. That's what the policeman stated it. And said the policeman said it was the worstest wreck that they had ever seen. Mm. And I'm here to tell you today, this was a miracle that they got me out. If I would have been in there 10 more seconds, it would have blown me. It would
have been blown to pieces.
Blown to pieces. Because I was in the back right where the gas tank was. And they said that thing shot 60 feet up in the air. And I'm telling you what God done for me. God saved my life, spared my life out of this wreck that I was in. If you'd have seen both cars, Brother Lewis, you'd have said, I don't know how he got out of there. I said, all I know, it was God that brought him out.
Praise
God. That's what the doctors, the paramedics, the policemen of Winder, Georgia. It was on Winder, Georgia, on Highway 7, Highway 11, going towards Monroe, Georgia. It was just right out of Winder, maybe a mile, mile and a half or 2 miles, something like that. I'm just guessing at that. And that was the baddest wreck that I've been in my life. It broke my right shoulder in several places. They had to rebuild it. And I was knocked out for right at a month and a half.
Now, I remember I went and saw you and me and my brother Walker. And you didn't, you looked like you just, it looked like you, there was no hope for you. It looked like you just death warmed over.
Yeah. They seen me in the hospital. Brother Lewis and Brother Harold Walker came up. Brother Lewis is from Alabama, and Brother Harold Walker was from Montgomery, right?
Yes.
He was from Montgomery, Georgia. He was a good friend of mine, both of them good friends, preacher friends. And they stood up there and prayed for me, but I didn't even know they was there. Mm-hmm. I didn't even know I was in Grady Hospital. The only hospital I knew it in, they sent me over to Kenyon Hospital. And that's where I stayed out over there for a long time. They was nurses by the grove that had to stay in that room with me. I was on one of them beds that was going over and under like that, trying to keep me alive.
Wow.
And to make this, I could tell, it'd take a long time for me to tell y'all, Brother Lewis, of what happened and what took place. And maybe sometime I can get down there and be on the probe with you, and me and Brother Pat. And I can tell more of it.
Yeah, more in detail, yes.
But I'm just telling you people, while I was in the hospital, I'll tell this part. I finally come to. My daughter had me by the hand. She was crying like a baby, squalling. And there was another man come in there, come up down the hall saying, "Gerald's going to live, Gerald's going to live. He's not going to die. Gerald's going to live, Gerald's going to live." And I didn't even know he done. I didn't even hear him saying that, but that's what they said that he done. Well, he prayed for so much for me and so loud that they almost put him out of the hospital, all kind of it. But they finally let it go. And I'm sure that man's prayer had something to do with
it.
You know, and I appreciate it. I met that man when I got out, and I shook his hand and told him that I really thanked him for praying that kind of faith prayer for me. And but I had other friends praying for me, Brother Lewis, Brother Walken, other friends up here. I had friends different parts of the world that prayed for me.
Praise
but
God.
What we want to do is give God the glory for all of it.
That's right. Didn't you say when you was in the room that you had a visitation from the...
My faith was really down when I was in the hospital. I was in pain. They had me on computer for a long time. You could pull it up on computer, see all my scars. Mm. I had scars on my back, scars on my arm, that real wide. It was still open where they couldn't sew it back together. They kept putting clean water on it, you know, trying to get my wounds to heal up. I had them on my arm. I had them on some on my face at that time. I had blood all over me. I looked like the blood of many colors, you know, like Joseph in the Bible.
Yes.
But like I said, Jesus came in there. While I was in the hospital, he came and sat down on the bed with me. Mm. And he was talking to me. I didn't see him, but I'm just telling you, I felt like he was there, real strong. Like I felt something sit on my bed with me, sit on the side of my bed. And he said, son, I want to tell you that you already healed. And then the scripture come to my mind, you're healed by Jesus' stripes.
Yes.
And you was healed when I went to the cross and died, that you was healed then.
Yes.
Said, you ain't got to say that I'm healed. Now, said, you already healed.
Mm. Praise God.
And I said, thank you, Jesus. And I remember how that God told me to raise my faith up a notch.
Yes.
So I raised my faith up a notch. When I did, man, the pains left, the aches left.
Praise God.
Everything left. I feel the Lord telling this. Mm-hmm. Everything left. I didn't have no pains, no hurts, no aches. I even quit taking my pain pills. Didn't have to take them no more. Jesus brought me out, brothers.
Amen.
And sisters, he brought me out of Kenyon's hospital. And everybody had made plans for my funeral. My sisters, they was there from Alabama, and they went back making plans where they was going to bury me at. Mm. That was the plan that they was making me. And my sisters were shocked when they found out that I lived through all that. Mm. My brothers and sisters, my natural and brothers and sisters were shocked. But boy, when I come out of it, I was the happiest thing. When I got out of that hospital, I laid on that bed so much that I felt like the bed was on fire.
Praise God.
You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. But praise God for his healing power. And don't never tell nobody that they ain't a God, because I know better.
Yes.
You can't come and tell me that there's not a God that's right here with us all the time.
That's right.
The Bible also says that in the scriptures, where there's two or three gathered in his name, there he is in the midst of his people. And I am so thankful, Brother Lewis. I feel like you ought to play this testimony to other people and let them hear it.
It's
just a testimony. And God, have mercy, the charismatic, they done give me up. And the policeman done give me up. And when I got out of the hospital, Brother Lewis, and was going back towards Monroe, Georgia, I stopped at this clothes place where you buy used clothes. Mm-hmm. And I walked in. I knew this woman that worked there and run the place. She's an elder lady, about 80-something years old, and she's still getting around good. And her eyes got so big when I walked in that door. Mm. She said, somebody told me that you burned up in that car. We thought you was dead. We was telling other people that you'd got killed in that car wreck. Well, I said, it's me. It's me. It's Gerald Whitlow. I'm still alive.
Praise God.
We just had a rejoicing good time about what Jesus had done for me.
Amen.
And I love him. I tell you, I never will forget it. And just like if it happened yesterday, it's been about a year ago. Mm-hmm. But praise God, I'm so happy. I just want to praise God for what he's done. God healed me. God saved
me. Yes, it did.
And set me free. Praise the Lord.
Amen. Praise God, Brother Jeb. We appreciate that testimony. I know it's going to really encourage other people.
Praise God.
God bless.
On a hill. far away stood an old rugged cross, the emblem of suffering and shame. And I love that old cross, where the dearest and best for a world of lost sinners was slain. So I'll cherish the old rugged cross till my trophies at last I lay down. I will cling to the old rugged cross, and I'll exchange it someday for a crown. Oh, that old rugged cross, so despised by the world, it has a wondrous attraction for me. For the dear Lamb of God, let His glory above to bear it to dark Calvary. So I'll cherish the old rugged cross till my trophies at last I lay down. I will cling to the old rugged cross and exchange it someday for a crown. In that old rugged cross, stained with blood so divine, a wondrous beauty I see. For 'twas on that old cross Jesus suffered and died to pardon and sanctify me. So I'll cherish the old rugged cross till my trophies at last I lay down. I will cling to the old rugged cross and exchange it someday for a crown.
This is the day that the Lord has made, and God wants us in whatever we do to praise Him and give Him thanks. And He wants us to be a shining light. And as we listen to Brother Gerald Whitlow today, we're confident that the Holy Spirit is moving in all directions, including your direction. My friends, that's the reason we have this radio program. God wants to reach out into your heart. God is doing a mighty work. We are aware that God is moving today. Now, not like He's going to move, because you see, He requires us to be submissive. He requires us to receive that which He has. Jesus said, go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. And you might think, well, I can't go to China, I can't go to Africa, I can't go into all the world. Well, He was talking to the church in general, and the church in general can go into all the world and has gone into all the world. But what God is speaking to you is go into all of your world. Where is your world? Give your testimony to those around you. God wants to so fill you with the Holy Spirit that when you walked into somebody's presence, they'll feel the very power of God. He wants us to press on. Stop living in the flesh. The veil of the temple has been rent. The flesh has been taken out of the way. And now we can come boldly into the throne of grace, that God can show us grace in time of need. Well, praise God, it's my prayer that God will reach forth through this radio program today. I thank God that he touched Brother Gerald Whitlow. I thank God for every pastor that's come on this radio program, because they do it to reach out to you in the name of Jesus. The power of God is going forth and is growing in our area, and he wants us to feel it. Well, hallelujah. I thank God for Jesus, and I thank God for what he's doing in our day. I thank God that you and I all are moving closer and closer and closer, and the fires of God are falling upon us in the name of Jesus.
Thank you for listening to the Amen Corner. We appreciate you and would love to hear from you. If you have any prayer requests or needs, you can call us at 706-773-4547. If you have a testimony that you would like to share on our broadcast, email us at more54us@yahoo.com. So until next week at the same time, may God bless you and keep you in his care.